Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Update with Living Compassion. My name is Rebecca, and I'm pleased to be joined this evening by Loren, who's here to share with us about her experience of participating in the group coaching session Mornings with the Mentor. Are you there, Loren?
I'm here. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
So, would you maybe start by sharing a little bit about what attracted you to that group coaching offering, and what was your experience like of participating?
Sure. So I have been thinking about that. One thing that's been my experience signing up for things is that practice support, they always seem to meet me right where I am. Like, no matter what it is in practice that I'm looking at, the practice opportunity is designed to support me in that. And so it's really common for me to have a conversation about, you know, what to sign up for and if it's the right fit for what I'm looking at, or if just a conversation about it. But then my experience has been that, they're all designed to support me with whatever I'm looking at right then. And that's been my experience as well with Mornings with the Mentor.
Yeah, that is such a good point, Loren, that no matter what the practice opportunity is, it meets us right where we are, and right where we are is the perfect opportunity for that practice. So it reminds me of the saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, and it sounds like mm-hmm. the teacher, well, in this case, was the offering, and right now, mm-hmm. Morning with the Mentor is what meets you right where you are. And so instead of having to have that conversation about, oh, what should I do? Or we can just say, what's here? Okay, that's it. That's my teacher now.
Yeah. Yeah, and related to that, one thing I'm seeing is that different practice opportunities that are going on at the same time, you know, they're never too much. They always work to support each other. So right now I'm participating in a few different things, and they just all aligned so that I was given more and more support to look at what I wanted to look at.
Oh, isn't that the best? When it just feels like layer upon layer, it's like being, you know, just surrounded in practice. And they do. They just all help support point. It's like we're pointing to, in all these different ways, life is kind of conspiring to help us see it by pointing. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll hear something on the radio show, and then maybe I'll hear something in this group coaching, and maybe I'll hear it said a slightly different way on open air or whatever. Yeah. But it's all pointing to our things that will help us wake up and end suffering.
Yes, exactly. So just what you were saying, the way this example worked for me right now with participating with Mornings with the Mentor, I'm in the year-long retreat, and 2 weeks ago we had an assignment with the prompt to record and listen about what's the one thing we'd want to change most about ourselves. I wasn't on the radio show, but actually many people who called in gave the same answer that I had written about, which is anxiety, you know, this wanting to be free of quote-unquote my anxiety. And then the next prompt was, okay, so what are you told would be the benefits of having that change, or in other words, you know, what would you have if I was free from this anxiety? So I made these recordings about, you know, my experience of what's on the other side of anxiety, that feeling of it's not all up to me. I don't have to figure anything out. That really restful, friendly place that I sometimes mm-hmm. call being with God, or you know, what we call in our practice, maybe being with a mentor. And so I made those recordings, and then I get an email that I can spend mornings with a mentor.
Wow. So that gives you the opportunity to practice that very thing that you saw in that assignment. Is that sort of what you're pointing to?
Yeah, just that, you know, it's the kind of, it was very powerful, those recordings, and it actually relieved this very intense feeling of anxiety I was having. But, you know, for me, my experience is that I see something sort of powerful, but I can be just sort of pulled away from, you know, that's really what I want to be looking at. And so then to just when I'm like looking at that part of practice, to be able then to start every morning from that friendly place of presence, it just was the perfect nudge of, okay, yep, right now this is what I want to be looking at.
Wow, yeah, so I see what you're pointing. So I think if I'm tracking, so what you're seeing is there is this real heart's desire to see through, to get past the anxiety that can so kind of claim your life. And by making those recordings, everything, you know, that kind of got kicked off with the year-long workshop exercise, you got to then practice it, put it into practice every morning, having that place, spending it with, you know, maybe you could call it spending with God, but in this case, it's spending it with the mentor, you know, which is all sort of, so all sort of synonymous, right? It's being with that peace that the anxiety story was sort of robbing you of, and you got to be in that place.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so grateful for practice, because, you know, that place as a quality is so much more familiar to me than it used to be. And so participating in mornings with the mentor, what a lot of it has been, you know, starting the day, tapping into that place and recording, watching about all the ways that I'm in that place, and then the voices tell me why I have to leave it. And so it's just been so supportive. Like as part of this, you make a commitment to record and listen for a minimum of 10 minutes with a mentor every morning. And then my practice has been to listen to them again as I head to my first activity of the day, whether that's work or an errand. Because I find that as the day goes on, I can get farther and farther away from this place. So just all these recordings about just catching all the voices and how they all are essentially like different flavors of trying to pull me from that place of being with the mentor.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, okay, so, and it just occurred to me when you said that there may be people listening that aren't familiar with the structure of the group coaching, and particularly the mornings with the mentor. So you alluded to it, that so you get on these calls weekly for a period of time, 4, 6, 5 weeks, something like that, and then you make a commitment of, and in this case, it was listening 10 minutes every morning, recording and listening 10 minutes every morning with the mentor. And then what you found is in your practice, you wanted to continue that listening as you go to your first activity, and then even throughout the day, because you could see that what the voices tried to do for you to you in the morning, they could somehow kind of, or sometimes get you in later in the day. So you just took that tool and applied it on throughout the day. And then, are there other elements of the program then that you come together to, you know, talk a little bit more about how that works as a program?
Yeah. So you have the framework there, and then, you do send one midweek check-in to the facilitator about what you're seeing about your commitment in the practice for that week. So you have that accountability built into it. And then, yes, once a week for the course of the program, I believe the one right now is for 3 or 4 weeks, you're together on a group call to hear what others and share what you're seeing about keeping your practice commitment.
Yeah, so you get to offer your practice for the, you know, it's like, it's sort of like being in group at the monastery or, you know, in a sitting group. It's like if people get to talk about it and be facilitated, and so we all benefit from everybody's practice in the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
You get to share what you're seeing and hear what others are seeing and how it applies to, you know, our own practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, it just strikes me as that structure is so supportive, and the fact that, you know, and how you took it on and really applied it, not only in the mornings, but throughout your whole day, it just seems like that's such a transformational element.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and just, it's, you know, learning the framework, of course, to be with the mentor more and more, but the mornings just seem to be a really helpful starting point.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a really good point. That is a really good, helpful starting point, because it can be such a torment. It can be such a place that ego gets the foot in. And so you're just really flipping it and turning the tables on ego by claiming that time for you, you know, for the human being who really wants to spend her life with a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, that's really lovely. Well, I see that we're up against the clock, but is there anything else that you'd like to add before we go?
No, I think we covered it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lorraine. And just, it's so nice to hear people as they share their experiences about all the different practice offerings. And, you know, group coaching, they kind of come around in you know, periodically. They're not something that's offered like every single week all year long. So just to have encourage people to watch the schedule page on the website, because that's where they show up when different group coachings are offered. And so thank you so much for being here with us and sharing your experience.
Thank you. Gassho.
Gassho. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rebecca, and thank you, Lorraine. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I loved that conversation. Did you?
Yes, I did. It was great.
It was one of those, I think we were talking about it at Center recently. I think we kind of pointed at this a lot, but what Lorraine and Rebecca were talking about with the getting together and hearing about other people's experience, how it's we exponentially increase our experience of practice.
Yes.
Right? Because we're in group and you say something and I've never seen it that way. And then somebody else says something and I've never seen it that way either. Right? And we just, then now I've seen these things that who knows how long it would have taken me to see if I were just on my own doing this, right? I might never have seen them. Yeah.
Yes.
So the advantage of getting together, and then as Lorraine was saying, you know, you learn the techniques, get the skills, you go off and practice them, you get together with Sangha, you talk about them, people give more tips and insights, and then we go off and practice, and it's the best. It's the best.
It's great. It's great. Mm-hmm. And I think I remember you talking about it. What dropped in for me is the sense of normalizing my human experience. And, you know, it doesn't take very, very many retreats or discussion groups to realize that, wow, I'm no crazier than anybody else or more normal or, you know, really, we come in different, some of us are tall and some of us are short, but really, there's not a whole lot of difference.
Yeah. That's about the extent of the difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Blondes, dark hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Blue eyes, brown eyes, black eyes. Okay,
right.
Good. And then once we get past that, wow, we're all pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah. It's very reassuring.
It really is. It
that's great.
It's comforting. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, you know, Michael, with that, what I just saw when you said that is that in getting that, we can get past the there's something wrong with me that is unique and something about me that needs to be fixed that I need to focus on all the time. And we can just get on about the business of practicing being unconditionally loving.
Yes, 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 exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, too, when I hear people say something judgmental or critical, or and then I will often respond with, yeah, I did that just this morning. Or, yeah, I'm just like
right.
that, too.
Yeah,
and, yeah. Yeah, I'm no uh-huh. different than anybody else. And
Yeah. And
good.
Aren't we adorable?
Yes.
Aren't we just adorable?
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Very fun.
And I have announcements here.
All right.
Starting August 28th, a six-week conference call retreat in recording and listening training will teach six key skills of the recording and listening practice. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative.
Mm. Yeah, it is. That is a... That is a not-to-be-missed class. It's
yes.
It's a true game changer. And it's one of those places where we could stumble around for a really long time on our own, or get with other people and a skilled facilitator, and things become very clear very quickly. So.
Yes. Yeah, just as you were talking mm-hmm. about a couple minutes ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The Your Practice Retreat, September 29th through October 6th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. The retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. The Project Joy app, which offers a year-long retreat for training the attention to reside in the present, is now available at the Google Play and Apple App Stores. It includes a daily assignment and a recording of Project Joy retreat participants sharing insights and asking Sherry questions. You can use your phone to record insights as you practice the assignment.
So cool.
Yeah.
It's almost
cool.
Like being there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
almost,
really great.
Just... Almost. Good. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the record button is right there on the page. You
yeah.
read the whole thing right there. You record, and then you listen to the whole show right then. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. And you add your insights, and truly, you're there. Even
yeah.
though this is last year's year-long retreat. So, and I've talked to many people who are doing it along with this year's year-long retreat. Wow. Talk about,
yes.
you know, turning on
yes.
the afterburners. Yeah.
Yes. Well, it's what I love about practice is that it's just timeless. You know, you can listen
mm-hmm.
to an open-air recording from 15 years ago, and it's
yeah.
just as mind-blowingly relevant today as it was then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we might be talking about tapes, but instead of tape players
yeah.
instead of recorders, but yeah.
yeah.
Small things.
Yes. If you're already meditating in the morning or wish to start, why not enjoy the extra boost of meditating with Sangha? Virtual meditation groups are a unique way to receive the support and connection of practicing with Sangha. A full schedule of virtual groups is available on the Virtual Meditation Groups webpage. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1. to make a show and a conversation that lasts about 5 minutes and is focused on one topic is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sherry, shall we get started?
Let's.
Okay.
See who we get to talk with today.
Yes. First caller, you are now live on the air. And then you're
live again.
Whoa.
Hi. Hello.
Wait.
Can you hear us?
Hi. Yes. Yes. We heard a lot as you came on, but now that you're here, you sound pretty good.
Good. This is Art. This is Art.
Hey, Art.
Hi. Chrissy's here, too.
Uh-huh.
And, yes, we are here, and it's interesting. I've been practicing pretty steadily, very steadily, with the with how you do everything is anything is how you do everything, and I've been missing out on open air. I haven't been calling it open air, so I'm really happy to be here.
Well, happy to have you here.
Thank you.
What have you been seeing?
Yeah, gosh, well, a lot of, so I have a new job. I retired from my old job because it, you know, it wasn't working, but it was 33 years, and Chrissy's been helping facilitate that transition, and so I'm doing something that I really love to do, and it's bringing up all sorts of things, because I'm so motivated to do it, that there's all these conversations in the head like, oh, don't do that, that'll turn out bad. Oh, you're talking too much. Don't get excited about this. Just you know, don't be so out there. Just tone it down, way down, because you're not good enough.
Wow.
And you know, you're not valuable. You know, it's, I'm not going to repeat what it says, but it's, the whole thing is that
we know what it's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And doesn't it kind of take you back to childhood? It reminds me of first grade, you know, where you're supposed to make that big transition from you get to be exuberant to, okay, now we're in grown-up land. And
yes.
So just calm down, sit down, just get a grip on yourself, be quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are some old messages, aren't they?
They are. They are. And the self-hate kind of, it really relates. Like I'll notice just these really vicious things that are, you know, that are sort of bouncing around in my head, and I'll be like, it'll just happen. Wow, no wonder I get shut down.
Yeah, no wonder you feel bad.
Yeah,
who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Somebody saying those kinds of horrible things to you.
Yes. Yeah.
And the wonderful thing to me about that is that you're hearing it so clearly. It's not subliminal any longer. It's right out there. You're listening to it. You know you're listening to it. You're aware of what it is. And increasingly you're having a different relationship with it. Now, of course, we actually have a group of people at the monastery right now who are just finishing up a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a lovely thing to put on your calendar.
That would be. We were just talking about retreats. It's a good ad. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. So the we're happy to hear the first 10 minutes of the show because we get caught up on all the things that are going on. So,
yeah.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
Oh, Sherry, can you repeat the name of the app? Chrissy's trying to download the app from
I can't,
Project
but
Joy.
Michael can.
Oh, great. Please.
Yes, it's the Project Joy app.
Project Joy app. Great.
Yeah, Project Joy.
Great. Well, I suspect that what we can do now is look at There's Nothing Wrong With You, the retreat schedule. I know that, I think we're all done for this year, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But good Lord willing, we'll be back next year. And yeah. It's never too early to sign up and make a commitment, because, of course, you know, as we know, that hateful voice in the head does not want us to go places and do things that put us in opposition to it.
Right.
So it's good to commit early on and then stick with it, so that we don't have to try to decide at the last minute that it's something we want to do. The resistance is just going to be too great.
Right. And the mm-hmm. person that's vulnerable to that conversation needs attention.
Oh my God, yes. Well, yes, absolutely. What you're describing, what you get with what's going on with you now is he is, right? You're experiencing that. Here he is. He, after 33 years of something that had gotten stale, he's doing something that he's really lit up about. He's really excited about. And
I'm sorry, Sherry, you've dropped out.
Mm-hmm. Those voices are there to ruin it for him.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yes, it's critical. It's critical. We as the person who kind of sits around and thinks about this, we're not, that's not the person who is capable of saving that human being.
Mm.
So we really do need to make a choice to put ourselves in a place where that which can save the human being and the human being in need of being saved are put together. And that retreat is what we've come up with as, I mean, all the retreats, we love all the retreats. That one is foundational in terms of really getting clear about the importance of this, who the players are, and what to do to support ourselves, to take care of ourselves.
Right. That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Well,
we'll expect you.
Thank you.
Next spring, we'll be looking for Art and Chrissy.
Excellent. We'll be there.
And we'll talk before then.
Okay, great.
All
okay.
right, good.
Thanks.
Thanks, you too. Good night.
Good night. Go happy.
Hey, thank you.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Art and Chrissy. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Ellie in San Diego.
Well, hello,
Ellie.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
How goes it?
Wow, how great to get on the call.
All right. It's the place to be.
Waiting for the heartbeat to calm down.
Uh-huh. The breath to regulate.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, here we are.
So I've been really like hip deep in practice lately, and
mm-hmm.
inviting, like, just really having deeper intimacy with people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, like, it didn't even occur to me that there might be a backlash from that. And,
oh, dear. Oh,
and
yeah.
And there has been a huge backlash. I mean,
Two things, right? Authenticity and happiness. There's nothing on the planet that will set off self-hate faster than those two things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shocking, isn't it?
Well, all I'm doing is talking to people on the phone and hanging out with them and...
Mm-hmm.
And conditioning is just going on and on about how they're going to find out what a horrible person I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
this, of course, is why you should just stay home with that voice who knows what a horrible person you are and is still willing to hang out at home with you.
How creepy is that? It's really crazy. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't eat, like, it's one of those, I thought that voice had been banished.
Oh,
and
dear.
I know, I was so silly, but.
Yes, silly girl. Silly, very silly.
Uh-huh.
But before you go on to the next piece of it, the reason that it seems that way is that we get fooled into doing what will keep us on a maintenance diet level with self-hatred. So if you stay home, if you sit on the couch, if you're afraid to go out and be vulnerable and authentic and interact with people and be open and practice coming from center, if you don't do any of those things, if you'll just stay home and be quiet and fearful and feel bad, those voices are pretty happy to, we could say, leave you alone, if we want to define that as leaving you alone.
Well,
you with me?
That totally makes sense. And
yeah,
what I saw was the reason that I didn't see how I was being bamboozled is that I do, like, I spend a lot of time with people. And
mm-hmm.
I'm...
The right kind of time.
But it's the right kind of time. And mm-hmm. and it's not... I don't know. It was like just to realize, yeah, I'm being authentic with them on that level and just seeing in a totally new way how I've been hemmed in and not allowed to, say, invite people to my house or not allowed to just call them up for no reason or, you know, to just say, hey, yeah, let's go, you know. I mean, like, I don't
have
know, like, just,
something.
Yeah, and that's, it's been really shocking.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. And that's a real argument for doing it. Right, just to get really clear about what's going on, and also to get clear about what that backlash is.
Yes.
Because, so you were allowed to go around in your life being how the voices in your head told you you needed to be. What comes with that is constantly being watched and monitored and critiqued, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're out doing whatever it is, and during it, yes, but then when you come home, you get the critique of the event and how you did and what you said and how people looked and how they looked at you and what that meant, and right? So that's the maintenance diet for ego. That it's fine with that. There's enough feeling bad in that for it to be, not satisfied, but to leave you alone from any further suffering. But if you're going to step outside of those bounds, then it's going to have to come after you to drag you back into the relationship that you're supposed to be in with those voices.
Yeah. And it's a really silly move on ego's part because I'm practicing a lot.
That's right. It's not and smart.
I'm not going to.
It's not smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, it only seems so because we're not paying attention. As soon as you start paying attention, you think, oh, my God, it's a program, and it's a dumb program.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the flip side of it is I'm really enjoying spending time with people and getting to connect with them and having that intimacy and inviting people into, you know, having people over to my house, going over to theirs. It's just been really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, since you're doing this and paying attention at this close in this close way, one of the things to just have fun with, okay, is tuning in to those voices telling you what other people are thinking.
Yeah.
Okay? Just that. Notice how often it's giving you information about what people are thinking and why they're doing what they're doing, what their motivations are. And just, you know, you don't have to even argue with it, but just be fascinated by the simple, logical question, how do you know that? Right? And of course, what we get to immediately is, of course it doesn't know that. It has no idea. It's just that we've been trained to believe it does and to and to listen to it and feel bad when it tells us to feel bad.
Yeah.
It's fun, isn't it? You see it why is, I keep saying awareness practice is so much fun. It is fun.
It is fun.
Self-hate is not fun. Seeing true self-hate is really fun.
Yes. Yes, being in this, doing this with practice is awesome.
Yes.
Doing it without practice would
best.
Be a nightmare.
It's hell. Yes.
Yeah.
It's hell. We all know that from personal experience.
Yeah.
But doing it with practice, oh my gosh, it is just, it's best. All right. Well, you keep having fun, okay?
I will do that. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Ellie.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ellie. Sherry, what dropped in for me during that conversation is the value of sticking with practice and committing to it and showing up and doing the practice and seeing the steps that we go through as we get clearer about what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And Ellie's was a perfect expression of it, right? That, The more we see and the clearer we get, the more delighted we are. It's just...
Right.
And I wonder sometimes, you know, how much of it is just the relief of not being afraid anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not having the energy going into being afraid and trying to hide out and avoid being told awful things that make us feel bad. It's just... When we realize that it's nonsense, it's just such a relief.
Yes, yes. And sort of the desperation in the voices of trying to get us to believe that when our experience is that if we just stick with it long enough, they can't keep it up.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It cannot maintain itself when we are, when we're paying attention. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Great. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jessica from Oregon.
Hi, Jessica.
Hey, Jessica.
Hi. Oh, I really loved that last conversation, and I feel like... I saw something last night kind of along those same lines, so I'm excited to be able to share that.
Say more, please.
I sat down last night and I pulled out the Sex and Money workbook. Those are two topics that come up fairly frequently, I feel like, at least one of them. And I was kind of, you know, in a content struggle last night with one of those and decided to pull out the book and was looking at it. And what occurred to me is, and what the workbook really makes clear is that that we're just becoming aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason that kind of hit me in a new way last night as I started to go through it, you know, and I realized how often there's this, you know, something comes up and it's like, okay, what can I do about this? How can I change this? How can I fix it? And the invitation to simply just say what's going on, just like struck me so seriously, yeah, it just struck me so profoundly last night in a way that I'm not sure it ever has before, and I was well, paying attention and sorry, go ahead.
Well, if I may, what you got, although maybe not in this language, but viscerally, you got that there's nothing wrong.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But it's here to be.
Yes.
It's when you step back, you can just see that, okay, that's a lot of stuff. Let's look
right.
at that stuff instead of drowning in the middle of it.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And just being allowed to look at and say what is so without the judgment, without anything else attached to it, without there being anything wrong with any of it,
was just
so huge.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think is most fun about this work, with what we do and with what other people do, is that you pick up a book. So here's a book, Sex and Money. You pick up a book, and there you are in the pages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this total stranger somewhere has written this book.
Right.
And yet, there you are. And it's a book. So it's not like that total stranger wrote the book and sent it to you as a kindred spirit. It's a book.
Mm-hmm.
It goes out into the world. And how could it have any value? Well, lots of people pick up that book and see themselves in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which is it goes such a long way to that statement that we were talking about earlier, that we're all alike. So if it is written down in a book, then maybe this is just how it is, and maybe I can look at it, explore it, instead of just being stuck in the, it's just me, there's something wrong with me, I need to do some, I need to figure this out, I need to do something about this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just so comforting to know.
It really is.
Oh, you mean other people think this? You mean other people struggle with this? You mean other people feel bad about that? Other people hear voices like that? Wow. That's good.
Yeah.
Who are those people? And then you found this.
Yeah. And it's okay to just let it be. It's okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just, this is on the sex side of the program. I've been reading this book, and one of the characters in the book was chiding an American. This is a European chiding an American, saying, "You Americans are such prudes. You can think of any, you know, that." And I think now we've got a whole cultural thing with it. Right? That we as a group have a reputation for being either repressed or in some headlong pursuit of trying not to be repressed, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just so funny. So if an entire other culture can look at us and go, wow, you people are pathetic, then what are they doing? You know, I'm going to get to their conclusions about it, right? And we just get back to, well, it's cultural. It's conditioning. No, it's the voices in the head. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun.
Well,
huh?
It is fun. And I'm just so grateful, just really grateful.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so as we approach these things, to approach them from a point of view of, it's not about that. It's about what's going on with me. That's what's interesting. That's the conversation we want to be in. So I think about X, Y, or Z. And what happens? You know, mm-hmm. is there this big rush of shame or fear or guilt, or are there voices that's the interesting part, not the sexual mm-hmm. part, not the money part. That's not
right.
nearly as interesting as what goes on with me.
Yeah. 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 And that was kind of like what I took away, you know, and when that judgment is not there, when you're allowed to just come out and say what's going
yeah.
on, then you can be more focused on that process of what's going on with me instead of being all wrapped up in, you know, in the sex or the money or whatever it is.
Well, in whether you're trying to figure out if you're the right or the wrong person.
Right.
Is this
right.
a good investment?
Should I be thinking this or not thinking this?
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah. And so in
yeah.
that way, it's all about me instead of all about conditioning. And we want it to be all about conditioning.
Mm.
Yeah. Right?
Mm.
We want to, instead
yeah.
of conditioning, instead of ego looking at us and evaluating us, we want to turn that around. We want to start watching ego and conditioning to see what
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Yeah, I really
Well, that's
I like
what you're
that
experiencing,
image.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah,
it is. It is. Yeah, I just hadn't thought of it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Well,
All right.
keep enjoying.
Well, I will. I will. Don't worry.
All right.
Thank
good.
You so much.
Thank you. Gosho.
Okay. Gosho. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jessica. Sherry, I was thinking, as you two were talking about the European and the American, that with the money, it's exactly the same thing. Either I think it's dirty and I want nothing to do with it, or I need to be $500 million. There's no
yes.
middle way to it.
That's right. And it gets so complex because even
yeah.
I can have nothing and still feel bad and guilty. I can
right.
have the billion and still feel bad and guilty.
Yes.
Yeah. So
equal
with
opportunity.
Yes, suffering. The world, you know, with ego's world of opposites, it can get on the opposite side of anything. Anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank goodness we gave up feeling bad in 2013.
Precisely. Precisely. And of course, the value of that is, as we were just saying in that conversation, then we really get to focus on what's going on. So all that attention and energy is not going into feeling bad and trying to rationalize and feel better and figure. There's just none of that. So now I can be present to what the heck is going on here.
Mm. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. Never boring, is it?
It's never boring. People think the spiritual life or awareness practice or whatever that is, oh, my gosh, I'd have to give up everything I love. It would be so boring, so awful. It's the most exciting, interesting thing somebody can do. The most boring thing is living from ego. My God, is that
yes.
boring.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sherry, we are going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen Awareness Coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's zenawarenesscoach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good evening, Michael. Good evening, Sherry. It's Todd.
Todd. I'm having deja vu all over again.
You know what? I would have bet the farm, and I would have lost it. Because in my mind, I said, there's no way I can be called on. I got called on this morning. There goes the acreage. It's
right,
gone.
There it goes. Thank goodness for letting it go.
There goes the sheep and chickens and sheep. Anyway, wow, twice in one day. What a privilege.
I mean, I like this. All right. What are you seeing? What have you been seeing since we last spoke?
Well, that was a quite interesting conversation we had this morning on the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything radio show.
Yeah.
And I'm still looking at truth. It's a great place to look at within this practice of truth. And I think Ashwini was looking at, maybe you can help me out here a little bit about what she was defining. Is it conditioning that puts the parameters on absolute truth? Is that where the suffering comes from?
I think that's what she was saying, that ego talks in terms of absolutes.
Yes.
Right? Because otherwise we wind up in the moment. But with absolutes, you can be a bad person.
Yeah.
And it is a life sentence. You've always been bad. You're always going to be bad. Everything you do is bad. Just bad.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a great point. That's a great point. And what was dropping in after that, our conversation this morning when I was doing recording about it was, it reminds me of the book and the little cards of what universe are you creating in this moment? And so everybody comes from their...
In this moment.
Right.
What universe are you creating
in
this moment? The whole thing is loaded, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. the whole thing is loaded, yeah. And one of the callers was saying this morning, which was really interesting to me, that two people, in quotations, at the same scene, can witness the exact same incident and have two different stories. That to me is so fascinating.
Yes. In fact, I think studies have been done with larger numbers of people.
Yes.
Thank you. You know, in the legal system, eyewitnesses are a big deal.
Right.
And so to take 8 or 10 people out and have them witness, say, an accident or somebody mugging somebody else, and it's like the projections are just flying.
Mm,
and each person, as we were talking about this morning, each person really convinced that, no, I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. And then, as you were talking about this morning, you know, there's the video, and people are going, well, maybe yes, maybe no.
Right. Because what's so interesting that I'm finding, and the more I'm kind of following these public videotapers that are challenging the First Amendment rights to publicly film, especially police officers doing their duties, is their assumption, which is finding not to be true in the courts, is their assumption is, the videotape doesn't lie. And that seems to be quite an erroneous assumption in a way that it's been proven that it's being interpreted many, many different ways once they present these videos.
So there's the video, and it's that same process. We still
only
see what we see.
Yes.
So it's kind of the mirrors, isn't it? Just goes back and back and back.
Right. So the activist gets tackled, right? And says, attacked or assaulted or whatever. And the police officer says, no, I was legally restraining you for your safety.
Uh-huh.
See the interpretation? It's so fascinating.
Yeah,
and the judge often says, we're looking for public and officer safety. All he was doing was restraining you, even though he had pepper spray in your face and putting his knee on your neck with four other officers on your back. You know?
Wow.
Yeah,
literally. I see you folks have the same problems up north that we have here in the middle lands.
Yeah, we do. Mm. We do, and it's becoming more prevalent because what they're doing is they're posting it on social media, and they're seen by hundreds of thousands of people. And with social media, it's so instantaneous. There's these local outcries immediately and these mm-hmm. calls for, you know, reviews and internal investigations and checks and balances and accountability. But again, you know, Sherry, we were talking about this morning, that is all of that is filtered through conditioned mind.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
So, you know, it's a wonder we haven't all killed each other.
Sure. I don't mean to laugh like that, but oh, I know. I agree.
I agree. Truly,
it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's the go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, it's the biggest thing is that we've got, I guess, they're saying in excess of almost hundreds and hundreds of videos of unarmed, usually folks of color or a different skin color than the white, you know, people of privilege, being shot, unarmed being shot by police officers, and it's on video. And these police officers are not being charged with crimes. It's phenomenal.
Oh, my.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, we're writing the same thing here. It's the exact same situation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It
runs so deep.
Yes, thank you. It runs so deep. And what mm-hmm. they're trying to, and I love what the actors are always saying, they're using a lot of our language and practices. All we want to do is bring awareness to folks in the community, bring awareness to officials, bring awareness to public servants that this is occurring. And it just doesn't seem acceptable. It doesn't seem that's the way we want to treat each other. That's the kind of premise.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want mm-hmm. to treat each other with violence. We don't want to treat each other with racism. Mm-hmm. We don't want to treat each other fairly. How can we, you know, I guess compassion for all, how can we treat each other compassionately and lovingly, which in a lot of situations between the public and people in authority, it doesn't happen.
Right. Well, yeah. And I think that we get to that kind of difficult place of realizing not everyone shares that perspective.
Well, yeah, it's another great point. That is another great point.
Yeah, not everybody has that as a primary value.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is really a difficult thing to face, you know, that
it is.
That,
it is.
Not everybody cares. Not everybody
values human existence. Not everybody values human freedoms or the right to be here alive and just going about their daily human business, you know, daily activities, you know, whatever we do. Go to work.
Right. And to me it gets even more fundamental than that.
Okay.
Not everybody values people of a different race,
yes,
of different colored skin, who speak another language.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm afraid we're coming to is the yawning divide, the growing divide between people who do care about those things and people who frankly don't. And even mm-hmm. though it's never been that's not true. I mean, in my lifetime, it has gone from it is acceptable to make just horrible, racist, sexist, ageist, you know, put an IST on the end of anything, remarks and jokes from completely acceptable everywhere all the time to not acceptable to a growing but it is how we feel, and we want to say how we feel. And that's the, it seems to me, as human beings, that's the very difficult, painful place we are now.
Yes.
Because we really are up against trying to live peacefully with one another when our fundamental orientation to life is diametrically opposed.
Yeah, that's so beautifully stated. It's tough stuff. Yeah, it's difficult. It's you know, and it's, I think we talk a lot about it in practice of, you know, we get bamboozled into listening to conditioned mind, and it wants to figure it out, it wants to do something, you know. And then we want to train ourselves, which I believe this practice is always pointing at, to listen to the still small voice. You know, how is light calling me to, it feels like I'm being called in some way to participate in this type of awareness, but I don't know how it's showing itself yet. You know?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So like, in our our conscious compassionate action is what we're talking about it in practice here. And
yes.
So it sounds like it's the same, the exact same process where you are.
It's
you know, how can we take a stand for what we value, for the way we want the world to be, without needing to put anyone outside the circle of acceptance? I used to laugh at myself. I still would, but I no longer struggle with it in quite the same way. When I realized that I was powerfully prejudiced against prejudiced people.
Yeah, that's a great one. Isn't that a great one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do not hate people that hate people.
Exactly.
I hate people that hate people.
That's brilliant. That's kind of what we have to face, right?
Yes.
How do we find that place of, this is really important to me. I'm taking a stand for this.
Right.
I mean, it's Gandhi, right? That's who we're really talking about. How do I stay in a place of unconditional love and acceptance for everyone and still take a stand, Martin Luther King Jr. in this country, and still take a stand for what, and I can't even say what's right, because that misses the point and that just starts an argument. You know, all I'm saying is it's what I value. It's how I want the world to be. And as long as we still have democracies, then all we can hope is that there are more people who want the world to be that way, the way, you know, the way I see is kind and loving and fair, versus the people who hold another point of view. And can't, is it possible to love people out of a hateful perspective? I hope we have a chance to find out.
Me too. I don't get too involved in American politics, although we hear a lot about it up here in Canada. And my whole life, I've grown up next door, so we've been flooded with American news. So I'm not ignorant to it, any of it. But there's the big question now: is America still a democracy? That is fundamentally being questioned.
Yes.
Is it a democracy, or is it a police state, or is it a what is it?
Yes.
What is it? Is it a dictatorship? We don't know now. So they're looking now at the whole political process in the U.S. Maybe Canada too. We're a parliamentary democracy, a little different, coming from England and the Queen. But so they're actually questioning: is the United States a democracy anymore?
Yes.
I think fundamentally it was set up to be one, but have they lost that fundamental political process?
Right.
It's a great thing to look at, I think.
It is. And before we leave the world of politics, the thing that I think it, and this is to me full circle back to every, you know, the practice I do anyway, and that I think everybody else is doing. Until we found ourselves in this situation, we didn't know that we had a problem.
Right.
We didn't know that we had no way to keep somebody from doing things that it never occurred to us that someone would do.
Yeah. Yes.
And so for each of us, with that's, to me, that's what practice is. That's what we're constantly running up against. We run up against it in ourselves, right? Because we have that force inside of us that is vicious and hateful
and oppressive.
Violent and cruel
and
oppressive.
Yeah.
And to realize that, to recognize that within ourselves, and to come up against that, to best that, if you will, not through hatred, but through understanding and compassion and kindness, and not participating with it, not engaging with it, but instead just turning our attention to what we choose instead. And I think that's the opportunity for us as individuals and as countries.
Yes, yes. mm-hmm. and as fellow nation, and choose what we want, and as you know, nation neighbors as we are, we're nation neighbors. Mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. we also yes. get that opportunity living on a shared border.
Even though we understand as Americans that Canada is now an enemy state, we
isn't that interesting?
Yeah, we're being told that, but
some of us
are resisting that.
Good, thank goodness, because I'm worried. I'll be crossing that international border soon, and the word
That's
out
right.
now is we're not as welcome as we used to be.
Uh huh. Well, you are here.
What's that? Oh, I know. I'm welcome there, but I have to cross I have to get through the Homeland Security guards first, and they have a lot of questions
yeah.
now. The vetting has increased.
Yeah.
I hear the border times have upped. So.
Yeah. I read something recently where the borders are being rushed, but not to get in.
No.
Get out.
Yes, and you know that is so true. I've heard many many stories of people moving to Vancouver and moving north, and I think there may be more or south going to Mexico. Yeah. I've heard Americans mm-hmm. going to Mexico, which is fascinating to hear. Mm-hmm. Privileged white Americans that are on YouTube, Google it, have actually moved to Mexico and feel freer in Mexico than they do in the United States. That's fascinating, right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Privileged white Americans leaving the United States because they've lost their freedoms. Hmm.
Yeah.
Another great awareness process. Yeah. So anyway, I will do my very best. I hope I don't get stopped at the border. I hope I don't get turned around.
If you do, we'll come and get you.
Sherry, that is brilliant. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All
well,
right,
thank you tonight.
Todd.
Thank you, Michael. Great chatting with you. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. Good night, Todd.
Good night. Okay, we'll do.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. Sherry, we got a few minutes. We could squeeze another caller in. That works for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we can squeeze, if there's somebody who wants to be squoze.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hey, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
Hi. That's well. I'm fine being squeezed. I just needed to connect. And I found myself really drifting away today as I was walking out the door at 9 o'clock, just not connecting with the call, and then realizing, oh, that's happening to me. I'm getting out of the habit of doing the daily assignments. And so
uh-huh.
I'm just connecting.
So you're getting back on board here.
Yeah, and I'm totally mm-hmm. getting back on board today. It was kind of a good wake-up call because I just got so on board with ego for a while and just was aware that I was listening to that conversation and I realized doing a bunch of the assignments all at once today, it was revealing to me what ugly things it was saying and how I needed to just, it was like I just needed to practice every minute. And that's what I was like, okay, do the assignments, do the recording, just fill up every moment with practice.
Yeah. Because if you don't, she's left mm-hmm. vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right? That's what happens. She's left vulnerable. And, you know, all our previous conversation with Todd, you know, we can look out at the world and we can say, how can this awful stuff be happening? You know, how can people mm-hmm. make the kinds of choices that they make? It's so cruel and harsh and mm-hmm. hateful. And then we look at what happens to us when we get pulled into conditioned mind into being completely identified with ego, and we can say, oh,
yeah,
I see. That's how that happens. That's how that happens to them, just like it happens to me. Right?
Yeah.
Because when we're separate
it's really
from our
ugly
hearts,
stuff.
It's ugly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ugly fast. Well, I'm very glad you're back. And I want to ask you the other thing that I didn't ask Todd, but I think all of us here on the western part of this continent, are you being able to breathe where you are?
Yeah, well, I can,
breathable?
But it's very, I'm not feeling it, but people I know are feeling it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So
I think it's one of
weird.
Those things that, that we need to pay attention to, because when our world is so changed like it is, when suddenly breathing, my gosh, nothing more dear to our hearts. And when that's difficult, and when there's that that sense, you know, I'm looking out right now, and everything is a dark gray of smoke. It affects us.
Yeah. That's really very strange.
Yeah. So we need to take even better care of ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well.
All right.
You.
Well, Emily, we'll be looking for you at 9 o'clock. So you be careful now when you put yourself in the queue. You want to be careful, because you know what happens.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Take good care. All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Go happy now. Okay.
Go happy.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Emily, and thanks for joining us, Sherry, for another great show of Open Air with Sherry Huber. It's wonderful.
And Michael. Thank you.
And Michael. Great, great. Let's do it again next week.
Let's count on it. All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Good night. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy. Treasure yourself.
Treasure yourself.